Okay.
Yes, thank you very much. Hello, I'm Ludovic de Bost. I'm very happy to do this presentation to the Spanish open source and free software community. I'm from Paris, France. So I'm going to talk about CryptPad, which is an encrypted collaboration suite and is a software that is also here to protect our privacy. So who am I? So I'm Ludovic de Bost. I'm a CEO of XWiki. So I 16 years ago, I created the XWiki software, which is an enterprise wiki to help people share information. Our company is 40 employees. We've been working 16 years building open source software. We're actually an independent company. So we're self-funded, no investors. Only owned by its employees, and our goal in what we do is to both try to make a living of building open source and being able to contribute to software that goes beyond our own company and that can be used very largely and we can participate to the movement of open source. And 4 years ago, we actually launched a second software, CryptPad software, that came out of research projects, French and European research projects. So why did we actually build CryptPad? And so when we look at what is happening on the internet, is we keep seeing these boxes that companies tell us how much they value our privacy. And the reality, unfortunately, is not at all what is written on these boxes. The reality is that they use and sell our data. So they actually don't really sell our data, but they use it very massively. And so this is something that is called the surveillance economy business model. So it's basically give users free services, track them, track as much as you can. And so the free services can be online services on the web. It can be applications on your mobile phone, games, anything. Give something for free to people, track them as much as possible, try to learn as much of information as possible. And what is actually being done with the data is not exactly the fact that the data itself is being sold, because the companies that usually record that data, they want to keep it as much as possible, because this is actually the value of what they have, is that what they do is they sell the ability to change users' behaviors through advertisement, for example, but also so for commercial benefits, selling you new things. Like, okay, you seem to be interested in this, so we're going to show you products about this, and we hope to sell them. But it's also used in politics, and there's been some scandals, like the Cambridge Analytica scandal, that has shown that all this information that is being tracked is also used to try to change people's decision when it comes to politics, and it causes a democracy problem. So, and the second problem is a security problem, is most of the software that is being used and cloud is being used more and more is absolutely unencrypted everywhere. So whenever we use a lot of software, there is data that is being transmitted to cloud services, and most of this data is completely unencrypted. Which causes a security problem, because there is a possibility to actually steal that data or look at it for the hoster, but steal it also from pirates. And there is very little transparency about what the cloud provider actually does to secure it. So every cloud provider is going to tell you that they're doing a very good job at securing all the data, but they actually don't necessarily do it, and they won't really tell you what is happening when there's a breach. So the GDPR is supposed to put some rules about whenever breaches happen, but it's yet to be proven that it's going to be actually respected, when we look at the fact that just the little box refuse all tracking is never put in on the websites. We can imagine that if a serious problem happens, it might also be hidden by many companies. And you have a lot of small actors and even individuals that could install software self-hosted, which is a very good solution, but it's also difficult to actually secure the software if you host it yourself, or if you host it in your company. It's a lot of work to actually secure that data. And so the goal with QuickPad, when we realized the technology we had, is there actually a way to actually enforce the privacy of users and the security of the data using encryption? And this is what we built with QuickPad. It's an alternative to collaboration tools. So we're not covering all the usages that there could be in the internet. You have other companies that actually, for example, doing encrypted mail, like ProtonMail or Tutanota. You have companies that do file storage. Well, we had technology which allowed real-time editing, and we had technology which allowed to encrypt the functioning of real-time editing. And so this is what we decided to build. And we're going after Dropbox, Google Drive, Trello, the collaboration services that will store data on the cloud that will be very practical to use for everybody, but that are absolutely not protecting our data and that are making that data available for all tracking. And the whole goal of QuickPad is to have no business model based on the user's data. So the key principle of QuickPad is that we encrypt shared documents that can be edited in real time. All the keys of the documents are personal, and they can be shared. It can be keys of documents. It can be keys of a shared drive with multiple documents in the shared drive, or it can be team drives. We have a system to exchange keys in a secure way between registered users using public and private key cryptography. So what is important is, what do we actually, when we're a QuickPad hoster, what do we actually know about the users? So there are still things we know. We know IP addresses, and we know the public key of users. And we do store the encrypted files of users, and we know that these files are linked to this specific public key, or potentially we could know that it's linked to this IP address, but we can actually not read that data. If we have a paying users, we do know its identity, because he's providing us this for invoicing reason. This is required by law. We also have some statistical information that is about who is what function in our software is used, so that can be actually turned off by users. But we also know which type of pads they are using, and that includes this location because of the IP address. So the IP address can be reverted to a location. We actually keep that information because it allows us to see how QuickPad is being used in different countries, but we of course are not using it for any other purpose. And what is actually important is that there's a certain number of things that we can't absolutely know. And for example, we can't know your password, and we don't even know your username, because this is actually generating a key on the client side. And so this is actually something that our users don't necessarily understand, is that if they lose up their password, there is nothing we can do for them. We cannot recover the data. We also can't know any of the content of the data that has been being shared in the documents themselves. What do we actually have in the QuickPad software? Well, we have a few pad types, seven. Rich text WYSIWYG, which is HTML editing, including putting images in your documents. We have code with Markdown, but also some other languages that can be used. We have presentations built in Markdown, so not like PowerPoint. This is something that we hope to have in the future, but it takes some time. We have spreadsheets, and we're integrating the only Office open source software, which is the only Office compatible suite built in JavaScript, so that we could insert in our client side technology, so that encryption can happen. We have Kanban, we have a whiteboard, and we have a poll similar to the Doodle software. And everything, all of these pads are real time, so you can use them multiple users at the same time and see the changes of other users. All the data of this pad is encrypted and stored in our crypt drive. In the crypt drive itself, you can install, also put files. And we have a Teams feature which allows to create teams and share information within Teams. So some examples to quickly give an idea of what we have in CryptPad. So this, for example, is a homepage. You can, in one click, you can open a pad and have a document that is stored encrypted on our server, and you can start editing. You can then register to have your own drive. And this is going to be your drive with your list of pads. If you click on one of these pads, you can go and edit them. And so, for example, this is our WYSIWYG pad, which has a commenting feature similar to what you could have in Google Docs. You know who's online at the same time with you. You can edit, you can insert images, and you can make some comments, and it's making some notifications to user if you mention another user in the comments that are put next to the document. Another example here is the features to share a pad. So if you have registered on CryptPad and you have friends that have registered in CryptPad, you can connect to these friends, and then you can actually share them a pad directly. Or you can share a link, but it's important to understand that if you share a link, you need to secure the communication of that link. So, for example, transmit it through a secure chat system that is encrypted itself. You can also create view-only links so that people can see a document that you created, but not edit it. Here is the code pad, which actually includes Markdown and Mermaid technology, which allows you to do some graphs inside your pad. We have a Kanban, so this is our development Kanban of our CryptPad team that is working on the future and the evolution of CryptPad. So they have a Kanban to follow all their tasks. So our team is heavily using their own tool to work and develop CryptPad. We have spreadsheets. So this is actually a spreadsheet. So we even have an importing and exporting Excel, which is available in Chrome, but now also in Firefox. There were some limitations, but now they've been read, so being solved. So the latest version of Firefox also supports Excel and import and export. So it's using only Office, which is quite powerful and has a lot of compatible features with Microsoft Excel. And only Office also includes presentation and Word. And we have prototypes integration of the presentation and Word modules, but we are not deploying them yet because we want to really make sure we don't do too many things in parallel, and so that we also focus on having a good experience for users. So this presentation is actually built inside CryptPad on the PowerPoint module that exists in OnlyOffice. So it's possible to build presentation in CryptPad, but it's not yet available. It's not activated on our main instance. This actually can be activated on a self-hosted instance for people that want to test it. We have also a whiteboard, which is actually quite interesting when you're doing teaching. Which has been a usage that has grown a lot for CryptPad. So I'm going to pass pretty quickly on the technological aspect. The core of CryptPad is an algorithm to manage concurrent changes. And it's this algorithm which was functioning without a heavy involvement of the server, which allowed us to do encryption. And we've built everything on CryptPad on top of that algorithm, And the fact that we create patches, we encrypt them, we send the patches. Another user of CryptPad gets the patches for the, for his document and applies them to its documents. And so it's quite unique, this technology. Actually, if you search online editing of encrypted documents, you have very little tools that exist. And CryptPad is clearly at this point the most advanced, with the more pads that are supported, more type of pads. We have also history, so and everything we do is built on JavaScript. I'm going not to spend too much time on this. You can look at the slide and learn more about the technology, or ask questions if you wish. One question is how far, and this is a question that we ask ourselves, is how far can we go with this technology? And well, we can integrate many JavaScript based software. So if an editor is built in JavaScript, then it becomes possible to make it encrypt its data. It's possible to wire it to the real-time system, and then to integrate it inside CryptPad. So we've made some prototypes with Draw.io, for example, or with mind maps. So there are possibilities there. It's also possible on this technology to build calendars or blogs and wikis and forms. This is something we are thinking about for the future, but it's a lot of work. So we're trying to focus on the core features at this point. So as I said, there is a lot of work. We also see that there is a lot of work to do mobile and offline usage, which is requested by many users. And this is also something that we want to work on. We also believe that decentralization is possible, so instance-to-instance communication of documents. So this is something that we're interested in, but it's not in our financial capability at this point. So what is our roadmap for the next 6 months? So we have a communities project, which is improving a lot of the existing tools, which is being finished. And then we have a phase where we're going to work on an Android application. And then we have a third project, which is going to come after next year, to work on improving our current poll application and making a form, a simple survey application. And of course, we're working a lot on maintenance and performance as the usage of CryptPad grows. As you will see, it's something that grows a lot. So this is the actual main instance of CryptPad usage. And the COVID situation has actually created a huge spike of usage. It's been multiplied by four during the confinement in European countries, particularly in Germany and France. And it's still, in September, significantly more higher than before the confinement. It's at least two or three times more usage than what we had before the confinement. We also see significant growth in the USA, and we've been able to connect this to a lot of protests in the US and users recommending tools that would protect their privacy. And our main country is actually Germany, where we have a very high usage. And in particular, lots of teachers that are using this software and have been using this software for during the confinement. It's actually more than 50,000 users per week on our main instance. And we also have 450 other instances of CryptPad.
One minute. Okay.
Yes, I'll be quick, just a few slides. We have more than 1 million pads. I also wanted to show that usage in Spanish language countries is growing a lot. And this is actually very, very interesting. And we hope that this will continue. And I'd like to point out that we're missing some Spanish language translations. We are about 60% translated. So if we have Spanish community people that would like to help, they can go to weblate.cryptpad.fr, which is our translation tool. We're currently translated in almost like five languages, French, English, German, Finnish, and Italian is 94%. The CryptPath team is three people. I'm not going to spend time on this. It's a very small team. And so people need to understand that we're fighting very big companies with a very little team, but it's working, and we're quite happy of what we're able to achieve and the quality of what we're able to do. I'd like to point out our funders. We've been receiving fundings from NLNet, from Next Generation Internet. We received funding from Mozilla, and initially the project came out of research funded by the French government. And so this is very important, the national and in European funding that this type of project can get. Because at this point, when we look at our long-term funding, we're still 10x away from being able to fund this with subscriptions. And so and we do have about 500 people that have either subscribed or donated to CryptPath. And we're very happy of that support, but we're still 10x away to being able to fund the team with only subscriptions or donators. That's it. If you have questions, I'll be happy to answer it. I've been a bit over time. I'm sorry about that. It's a big subject, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ludovic. And it's okay because you are follow perfectly the time frame. So, any question for Ludovic? Es el momento de las preguntas. Si tenéis preguntas para Ludovic para sobre CryptApp y el proyecto, es el momento de hacerlas. Entonces, las podéis hacer en español o en inglés como queráis y nos encargamos de traducirlas.
So, if I don't have too many questions, maybe I can go back a bit on the Spanish countries. I'd like to point out, so we have heavy usage in Spanish or in Mexico. So first question, do you have any plan to partner with Tutanota to have a full ecosystem? So that is actually a very good point. And this is, I mean, we'd like to be as much as possible compatible with other tools and trying to connect them. It's significant work, and so we would be happy to discuss it with it. We haven't discussed with companies like Tutanota or ProtonMail at this point. One also things to note is that CryptPath is 100% open source. We'd like also to see a 100% encrypted email project that is open source at this point. We see projects that are open source on the client side, but they're not open source on the server side. And so it would mean that we could connect the cloud services. It's not clear if we could connect local installations like we do for CryptPath. But yes, this is something that is interesting. We wish for a global system at some point, which could give a more complete offer to the community. So we can see, so actually I wanted to point out that we had the heavy usage after an article on hypertextual.com, which is a Spanish language site, you probably know. And this is actually one way to help us, is that the more the project is being talked about, the more we get users and that know about the software, and the more it convinces other users to use open source tool instead of using proprietary and cloud services. So, I mean, anybody can help just by spreading the usage of the software.
Okay, we have one last question, Ludovic, here in the channel in BBB, and it's related to CryptPath and the relationship with wikis.
Yes. So at this point, you can partially use CryptPath a bit as a wiki, but CryptPath has more user interface that is similar to Google Drive, Google Docs. It is also a tool that is very much oriented towards the notion of pad. You can open a document and work on it very quickly. So we're trying to have a very fast system. It's not a system that has been necessarily constructed to be built strongly around a large set of content that you would interlink together, like what you do in wikis. So this is what we do with XWiki. On our side, public content that is being shared. In XWiki, we have a lot of features about knowledge organization and connection. In CryptPad, we have less that, but we plan at some point to work on that, but we're focusing on some other priorities currently than making it a wiki. Because we're focusing a lot on the individual user and less about groups. And so CryptPad is a bit more an editing tool than it is a sharing tool and a wiki type tool. It will become that progressively, where we have some ideas of UI we could build on top of CryptPad to actually make it also a wiki at the same time of what it is today.
Okay, Ludovic, I think that time is over. Remember that you can contact Ludovic in Rocket Chat.
Yes, you can continue questions on Rocket Chat. We have a channel on Matrix Riot. It's and on IRC CryptPad, so you can contact us there and ask any questions. We'll be very happy to try to answer them. Thank you very much to receive us and have a great continuous conference.
Okay, thank you very much, Ludovic. See you.
Thank you.